Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us this afternoon. And I will say that this is a big issue today. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be chatting about walls. We're going to be chatting about nuclear energy. We'll be chatting a lot about Brexit, I'm confident, and events in Europe. And we'll get into yellow vests as well. So if that doesn't intrigue you, you've been missing out on a lot. Stay with us here this afternoon as we are joined by Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, joining us from London, England. As a result, we are pre-recording this because as this program airs, it will be nearly midnight his time. So he's looking forward to getting some sleep this evening. So with that, Tom, good afternoon to you, or practically good evening to you.
Good evening to you.
And a quick question, what's the weather like there in London?
Well, at the moment, it's a bit dull and overcast. We were forecast really nice, almost spring weather this week, but it hasn't yet appeared. So the temperature is in the low 50s, high 40s today. Bit windy. So still sort of winter weather is the best way to describe it.
Okay. And
I'm looking forward to spring weather.
Well, we're having a lot of wet weather right now. As a matter of fact, instead of global climate change, we've got wet weather change here in our region of the country. Tom, let's talk about some issues here. Let's start with the states, since that's where I'm located. First question for you, the discussion that conflicts, of course, associated with the building of a wall here in the States to protect our sovereignty, something that, well, I'm kind of a fan of. How is that being covered in the European media?
Well, it's not the wall that's being covered. Wall has become almost tangential as far as the European media is concerned. You know, the issue now is the national emergency and how it's going to be funded and whether or not it's constitutional and whether or not the Constitution is broke,
okay,
or broken.
Okay. And by the way, that is a topic. I mean, there is actual discussion about literally the constitutionality of this program.
Oh yes.
Oh wow.
Absolutely.
You know, this is
a lot of discussion. They've got experts on from American, wow, British, German universities debating it, and constitutional lawyers don't seem to be able to agree one way or the other that Emergency Powers Act was put in place to deal with immediate emergencies such as a hurricane or something like that.
Well,
now it appears to be used for political purposes.
Well, one would argue that an invasion, as some of us see it, qualifies as an emergency. But okay, you know, I think the important part.
Well,
of it,
I think Lockwood, you have to point out that the major plank in President Trump's election campaign
was the building
of the wall.
No question.
I think it makes it political.
Well, it may have that too, but there is
a lot of people chanted something at his rallies. What was it? I can't remember. What did they chant?
I don't know.
Build the wall.
Yeah. Well, he's doing that.
And who's going to pay for it?
Well, Mexico, and listen, with the amount of money being collected from El Chapo, there's a good chance that Mexico will in fact be paying for it. Let's move on. The one thing that I find fascinating, and I you've mentioned it numerous times, and I think this is important for the audience to realize how much the events here in the States play a role in conversations there in the European community, particularly European community. Remainder of the world, I'm not sure of, but I think that's interesting. All right, let's talk about another item associated with the president, and then we'll get into the issue of politics, as you just touched on a few moments ago. And that, of course, is the topic of the recent disclosure by the former head of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, that he was actually engaged in conversations about removing the president via the 25th Amendment. Two quick questions. Did that get coverage? And two, does the European community understand the concept of the 25th Amendment?
Oh, yes. Yes, basically.
Wow.
That if the president is deemed to be unfit, and unfit is an open, vague concept, mm-hmm. he could be mentally unfit, physically unfit, he could be unfit in other terms, that he can be removed from office on those grounds.
Okay, so that has received some coverage. Was there any thoughts, any observations or criticisms about the fact that a bureaucrat was actually wanting to promote this, or if you will, politic for this, by contacting the other members of the cabinet?
But not the sort you'd think, actually. There hasn't been a great deal about it. There's been some.
All right.
And I think it's been along the lines of, and mind you, most people here would like to see President Trump removed from office. So, that's the context of it. But it's, here's a man who has to deal with the president on a daily basis, is aware of his, the way he operates, the way he thinks, the way he acts on a daily basis. And if he, from those interworkings, believes that the president is unfit, mm-hmm. is it right for him to withhold that?
A question.
Is it right for him not to act upon it?
Well,
doesn't he have a legal and moral responsibility to do something on behalf of the nation if he thinks that the man he's working for is not fit for office?
You've shared with us the concerns associated with this several times. Let's look at another aspect of this. I'm curious, are there other circumstances in other countries where you would have something akin to the 25th Amendment that would accommodate the removal of a national leader? I'm just curious. For example, UK.
I'm not familiar with other constitutions other than the British.
And?
There's nothing in the British that I know of.
But you have a different
constitution.
But you have a different proposal. You have a different program because you can actually have what amounts to a vote of confidence.
Yes, you can have a vote of confidence. But and most of the systems here, except for the French system, is based upon the British parliamentary system. So the president is not directly elected.
Okay.
He's indirectly elected. The prime minister, he's usually the prime minister who holds the power, mm-hmm. is indirectly elected as leader of the largest party.
And I want to talk about the announcement of the numerous candidates that are now going to begin to seek the Democrat nomination for the presidency. Of course, we've talked about in the past Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, names that I'm sure resonate within the European community, but names like Kamala Harris and Kirsten Gillibrand and Beto O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren, possibly Cory Booker, possibly Senator Amy Klobuchar, Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, and now, of course, Michael Bloomberg. Is there any kind of fascination about these numerous candidates that are lining up so early? What's the press there in the media?
Well, I think the people here are interested by the big names.
Okay.
And for them, big names are Biden, Bernie Sanders, Beto O'Rourke. But the other thing which they're starting to comment on is that there appears to be a clear shift in the mainstream of the Democratic Party, that the channel is moving to the left. So therefore, people like Biden might find themselves on the wrong end of the stream, that, he's a very attractive figure, but he's an old white man who is on the right of the party, or in what used to be the moderate center, but has now become the right of the party. He may find himself eliminated earlier than they think.
Does this mirror what's happening in the European community relative to a shift to the left?
Yes. Except in the European community, well, like in America, it's just the basic diversion as the two normal streams, the right and the left channel, so to speak, are veering more to the right and more to the left.
Okay, so there's greater polarization. All right, we're going to take a quick break on that with our guest Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And just as I've advised folks in the earlier segment, this portion has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule since it's going on towards midnight as we air this program live this afternoon. Well, pre-recorded this afternoon here on Viewpoints. And always a pleasure to have Tom joining us from London, England. Tom, we were chatting a few moments ago about the politics in the U.S., and we've got a lot of things to talk about today, but I'm curious, back to the issue of the candidates. We were mentioning the numerous Democrat candidates that are running, and I'm wondering, and I want to touch on a Republican candidate that has announced as well, but I want to touch on an issue. Is there, shall we say, a front runner or front runners insofar as just the media coverage right now?
No.
No? No. No interest? No. Joe Biden? Bernie?
Maybe Bernie.
Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
Okay.
Simply because he's got name recognition.
Okay. And what about Elizabeth Warren? Because, of course, she was early on.
She has the, no, not the same as Bernie. You know, I mean, Bernie came very close to beating Hillary.
Right. But what about, I'm curious about the relationship with Joe Biden and the European press in light of the fact that he was vice president.
Joe Biden's popular because the European press likes Barack Obama, and they know that, you know, Biden, if you get Biden, you get basically Obama, or you get another version of Obama. You know, they were like brothers, weren't they?
Well, we're not really sure, but okay, that's an interesting observation. I think that's helps
well,
us.
That's how he
has perception
over here.
That's the perception. All right. Then let's move to the Republican candidacy. And, of course, former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld has now announced that he is planning to declare as a Republican. He previously has declared as an independent or a libertarian in the past. The interesting thing about Governor Bill Weld is, of course, he was the governor of Massachusetts. He stepped down from that position so that he could seek the position as ambassador to the U.N. In line
actually,
of the
fact, it was Mexico, I think.
No, well, Bill Weld of Massachusetts.
Well, it was ambassadorship.
Ambassadorship.
And he didn't get it.
No.
He had to withdraw his name.
And the reason he didn't get it was he was advised by members of the Senate and other, with Senate Foreign Relations Committee and others, that he was too liberal for the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, whose name happened to be Jesse Helms. And he attempted to fight Jesse tooth and nail. And many people laughed and said, why would anybody give up a good-paying daytime job so they could go to fight with Jesse Helms on something there was no way he was going to win? My question, how well-received is Bill Weld in the European community?
Nobody knows him.
Ah.
Nobody knows him. Yeah, he's totally domestic. He was also the, I think it was in the last election, wasn't it, the vice president candidate for the Libertarian Party.
Right, yes, he was. Yeah.
On paper, you know, he looks very good. The one thing going against him is that his ancestors stepped off the Mayflower. Actually, the joke is, as he said a number of times, no, his ancestors were not on the Mayflower. The servants were his ancestors on the Mayflower.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's a very good point. I like that observation. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, LookAhead Radio. By the way, an expat, so he understands American politics as well as his 40 years there, 40-plus years there living in Great Britain where he is an expatriate.
Well, yeah, he's a real establishment figure. Is well, that's the point. And if you know, I wouldn't put it past him beating Trump. I think there's a possibility.
Okay, let's talk here now. Since we're chatting about Trump, let's bring up another topic, which will segue beautifully into the issue of Brexit, and that, of course, is the announcement earlier this week that the president is seriously considering a tariff on European autos. And this will segue beautifully into conversation about what's happening there in the UK. First question, though, that issue, that possibility of European autos being declared a national military defense issue, interestingly enough, how is that being reported in the European press, and how is it being received?
Well, it's being received in you know, I mean, they're very angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are an ally. Or, you know, we've always considered ourselves an ally of the United States. And when I say we, I mean the people in Europe. The people in Europe have always considered themselves allies. They provide forward bases, and you provide nuclear umbrella, and it works so well. And then you want to treat us the same as the Chinese. The response will be retaliatory terrorists, no doubt about it.
And
they've already said there would be retaliatory terrorists.
Is there a possibility that this can be solved?
Of course there's a possibility it could be solved, but, there's no need for it in the first place, and it's up to Trump to make the suggestion as to how it could be resolved.
Okay, let's talk about the influence, the impact of this on the topic of Brexit, which, by the way, will take us over into another segment here in a few moments. Of course, Europe is dealing with the possibility of separation from Great Britain, which I have always contended, Tom, has been European Union light, in the sense that Great Britain has acceded to the oversight of the European courts and various European policies associated with trade. But, for example, Great Britain refused to move to the euro. It still uses the pound. It still uses, God bless you, the foot and the ounce.
Britain has always had its head in Europe, its economic head in Europe, but its heart in Australia, out on the open seas, in the Arctic,
right,
almost anywhere else except in the halls of Brussels.
Now, with that said, let's talk about here for a moment, because we're going to go to break and come back to more issues associated with Brexit. But the fact that, for example, the president is talking about tariffs on the European auto market, and of course we'll get to more details here in a few minutes as well about the impact of Brexit, is that a major, will that hurt the UK, or is that more of an impact on the European community?
There isn't going to be much of a, it depends on whether or not he's extending, if he's just saying there's going to be a, if he's just saying the tariffs will apply only to EU countries who have full membership of the EU, then actually in a strange sort of way, you're right, it could help Britain, because we've had several car companies in the last few weeks faced with the prospect of a no-deal Brexit say that they're pulling out their manufacturing operations with a total of something like 100,000 jobs at stake. And because of supply line economics, that's probably another 200,000 or 300,000 jobs at least behind those that, not directly linked to the manufacturing, but are in supply services and things like that.
Okay, because I know that one of the companies that is looking to leave is, I think, Ford, but it's only about 3,000 jobs associated with that. And of course, Ford has a U.S. contingent associated with it, so I'm kind of wondering if the president...
Yeah, well, Honda's leaving, Jaguar, Land Rover. The fact is that... it would be the British car manufacturing industry is being really, really hit hard by the prospect of Brexit.
Okay, we're going to get back to more on that.
It could almost cease to exist.
Well, we're going to get back to that more in just a moment here on Viewpoints Around the World. Just to remind you, our guest this afternoon, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, joins us every Wednesday. And as I keep reminding you, this portion has been pre-recorded due to the our difference in hours. Stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We've spent the past few segments talking about the American relationship and the events in the U.S. politically and economically, and the relationship with Great Britain and Europe, and of course the concerns associated with tariffs. And we chatted briefly about the issue of Brexit. And Tom Arms, of course, lives there in London. We've discussed this on numerous occasions. And Tom, I'm trying to do the calculations. We are now 20 days. We've got 9. We've got 47 days, I think it is, before the decision is made as to what happens with Great Britain and the European Union, Brexit. And we chatted a few moments ago about the fact that car manufacturers have announced their departure from the United Kingdom, predominantly there in Great Britain. The question goes to, where are we in Brexit? How, you know, are we any closer today than we were yesterday?
No. And it's driving everybody nuts. You know, Mrs. May just keeps putting forward the same proposals to the EU, and the EU keeps batting them down. She and Jeremy Corbyn had a big set-to in the House of Commons today. Both of those parties, the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, have splintered. We've had 8 members of the Labour Party leave the Labour Party this week and join something called, or create something called, the Independent Group.
But I thought they were going to join UKIP, the United Kingdom Independent Party.
You know, what makes you, why would they join UKIP? That's way off to the right. It's,
okay.
It's Tommy Robinson's, or Tommy, actually, Tommy Robinson's party.
That's what I saw.
It's a racist party.
Oh, okay. Well, and of course, the Labour Party with Jeremy Corbyn, and accused of anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
But,
they,
I mean.
I say the Labour Party is anti-Semitic.
Right.
And UKIP at the moment is calling for the deportation of Muslims and things like that.
Wow. I tell you what, life is interesting there in London and the United Kingdom.
It is. Always interesting. It's like being Chinese.
All right. So the Labour Party is splintered. The Conservative Party is also...
Conservatives have lost 3 members.
Where have they gone?
As well, as of today, they've walked out of the Conservative Party. Saying that they're totally fed up with the government's inability to negotiate anything on Brexit.
What next for Theresa May, and what next for the European Union?
Well, they're all of them in a mess, so nobody really knows. I think I've said this last week, you know, the situation is extremely fluid.
What about the economy in the European community in light of the fact, as we chatted a few minutes ago, about, well, potential tariffs associated with European autos in the United States?
Well, that plus Brexit is not going to, if it's a no-deal Brexit, those two are going to have a very big negative effect on the European economy at a time when the European economy is having its own problems or other problems as well.
Right. The world economy is beginning to slow down. Of course, we've seen this in China. And
now,
of course,
the effect of tariffs on China is having an effect on the sale of Europeans' goods in China. So the America First policy is working well. You're doing an excellent job, of beggaring the rest of the world.
Okay. I think there's a little tongue-in-cheek in that one. But here's a quick question. Ask a quick question. I want to move on to European community right after this question. Could it conceivably have a positive impact on the European Union in light of the fact that these tariffs may force the Prime Minister May, Theresa May, and the Chancellor of the European Union and the hierarchy there to come to an agreement and say, we've got to work together on this?
No.
Okay. All right. Just wondered. Let's talk about what's happening in the European community. And there are several items here. One, since we're talking about Brexit, regulation of Facebook.
This was a report from the House of Commons Committee, which they've been working on for over a year. And they are absolutely furious with Brexit. I mean, not with Brexit, with Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And with Mark Zuckerberg, who they find as a Well, they called them disingenuous.
Right. And distant.
Which is another word, is another word for liar.
Okay. Now, because I've got so many other things, what's the future of this issue of regulations? Is it going to happen? And will this generate significant changes there, particularly in Great Britain, but possibly in the European community as well?
Yes.
It will.
It definitely will. Facebook and all the other social media platforms are going to have to become much more socially aware, and they're going to have to comply with a compulsory code of ethics,
mm-hmm.
with an independent regulator Ooh. Overseeing their actions.
That will be interesting to see how that applies in light of the fact that, well, wherever Facebook and any of the other digital media are, is almost literally amorphous. They're all over the globe. Let's move on to other items associated with, and I'm probably going to touch on two items nearby, but let's talk about the situation with the yellow vests in France. And you told me yesterday that movement is growing across Europe. What's happening?
It is. It is spread almost all the way across Europe. The yellow vest has become symbolic of anyone who is opposed to the establishment, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be of the far left or the far right. It doesn't matter. They're just opposed to whatever the establishment is. And for them, the establishment is liberal democratic ideas, moderate, centrist ideas. They are opposed to those. They think they failed. And so they put on their yellow vests and they start demonstrating. In Britain, the yellow vests have been taken over by the far right. So
mm-hmm.
you see yellow vests with slogans like out with all the blacks.
Right.
Or even kill a black.
Really?
Written on the back of their yellow vest.
So racism is rampant in the United Kingdom?
It's certainly becoming worse. It's become worse ever since the Brexit vote. And as these divisions continue and people split further and further Ooh. To the right, then the racists are finding a home in the far right for their views, and they're making their views known publicly much more than they did before.
Very interesting. Would not be tolerated here, interestingly enough, in the States. But the other aspect of this, and let's move to France. France is also having a situation with growing anti-Semitism, I understand?
Yes.
Wow.
In fact, it's not just France. It's in Europe as well. The anti-Semites, and it's one of the reasons why we had the split in the Labour Party, too. Was Jeremy Corbyn is regarded as a classic anti-Semite, which he denies. It's a sort of classic thing about racists and anti-Semites. You know, everyone else can see it, but they can't.
That's interesting. I think this is important for the audience to know because the world is very unsettled. All right, I want to talk about this in relationship. I'm going to use four major government leaders. That would be Chancellor Merkel from Germany. That would be Theresa May in the United Kingdom there. To a large degree, we've chatted about those two. But recent stories have been released noting that President Justin Trudeau of Canada and President Emmanuel Macron of France are both having significant problems in their parties as well as in their countries. What's happened to these two leaders that are young, they're vibrant, I'll use the word attractive, but now things are beginning to unravel?
There are similarities and at the same time differences because, you know, different
mm-hmm.
countries, different individuals.
Right.
In the case of Macron, he came out of nowhere. He has emerged. He came out of nowhere very appealing because he's incredibly bright, multilingual,
mm-hmm.
pro-European and everything else. And he was new blood. He represented an anti-establishment figure who was really quite acceptable. He's turned out to be much more arrogant than people realized. And that is not going over very well with the French people. Trudeau, he has his problems. His results stems at the moment mainly from the resignation of his Native American attorney general,
mm-hmm.
the justice minister, over the bribery case involving a Canadian engineering firm. Was it SNC-Lavalin and Libya? And I think there's several things here. One is the corruption issue, because he's always been seen as incorruptible.
Right.
Well, maybe not incorruptible, but, you know, whiter than most. And then there's two other things, which is he's always seen as a sort of champion of the Native Americans. And Native Americans are not very happy at the way the Attorney General has had to resign. he's also seen as a feminist, a self-avowed feminist. And, of course, the Attorney General is not only Native American, but she is a female Native American.
Well, wait a second.
He's come unstuck on three grounds, or three sides all at the same time.
All right, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. Tom, I've only got a moment here before we go to the next break, and I just want to bring up an issue, a very quick analysis. Israel and Poland have had a fallout. As a matter of fact, there's been a recall of one of the ambassadors, and I think Poland has recalled their ambassador from Israel. What is the future of that? Does that have long-term impact, or is this just a momentary interruption?
I think it's part of a new hard line from Israel, which I think is unfortunate. It stems from something that happened. I think it was the Israeli foreign minister said, which was that the Poles imbibe anti-Semitism at their mother's teats. And that went over very badly. Now, the reason for that is because during World War II, there obviously were Poles who collaborated with the Germans in handing over Jews.
Right. So it's basically...
But there were also... There were Ukrainians who did it.
Right.
There were Hungarians who did it. There were Czechs and Slovaks.
To use a term very quickly, it's basically breaking open an old scab.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think that the Israelis are becoming much bolder in their foreign policy in using this to break open these scabs and assert themselves on the world stage.
Okay, very quickly.
Make their views known in other areas.
Okay, I was going to say, for what purpose? All right, you've given us that explanation. Thank you very much. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. Coming back in just a moment, we're going to chat about a few other items, and then we're going to get to skiing down Garbage Mountain. I'm going to be interested in this. Stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. He's joining us from London, England, where it's going on towards midnight, so this portion of the program has been pre-recorded. Tom, I'm looking forward to hearing about skiing down Garbage Mountain, but I do have one other item that we did not have time to chat about, but I think this is an important one. I just want to question you about this. There are approximately 800 ISIS fighters trying to repatriate to their European countries. And I saw a story where there's a young lady, I think, from Manchester, and she's trying to repatriate, and they've revoked her citizenship, as I understand correctly.
Yeah, she is back in Manchester at the moment. She has just given birth to a young boy who will probably be taken into care. Now, this is a thing which... President Trump, and I think there's a lot of sympathy with his suggestion. Most of the Europeans do not want European governments. They don't want these IS fighters back. They've been radicalized. They don't want them back. But a lot of them cannot be turned away. If they turn up at the border bearing their French, Belgian, or British passports, then they have to be accepted.
Because
they're a member of that country.
And they're part of the European Union. Here's a quick question.
If their citizenship is taken away, that is illegal. That is rendering them stateless. And countries are not allowed to do that.
Okay,
But in the case of this woman in Manchester, she is also a dual national. Mm-hmm. And her other nationality is Bangladeshi. So she has another country to go to.
Now, let me interrupt you very quickly on this one, Tom, before we get to the issue of skiing down Garbage Mountain, because much sadly of what we're experiencing is quietly worldwide political garbage. It's unfortunate. But the interesting thing was this young lady has announced that she was horrified by what she saw when she went to join ISIS. You say IS, but we like to say ISIS here in this country. That she is not radicalized. At least that's her claim. But there's still a feeling that she is dangerous because of her experience.
No. She comes over completely differently over here as really? Showing very, very little remorse, if any at all.
Wonderful. Okay.
She said she was asked if she'd ever seen anyone beheaded. Mm-hmm. And said, no, but I've seen the heads in the rubbish bin.
Wow.
And she said, and they said, well, how did that make you feel? Well, just rubbish.
Oh, my land. Okay, I've misread this article. I was under the impression that she was saying that she saw horrific events. She saw the results of them, I guess. All right, let's move on to the denouement, the unraveling, if you will, of our weekly broadcast. I'm looking forward to hearing about this. Skiing down Garbage Mountain?
It's the Danish Recycling Stroke Garbage Facilities in Copenhagen. They have a mountain 200 feet high, incredibly steep hill. So what do they do with it? They cover it up and turn it into a dry ski slope and charge admission.
And are they successfully doing so?
Yes. They can create this incredibly steep slope.
And by the way, what are you skiing on? What kind of material? Plastic?
It's some sort of polystyrene or polythene material that they cover up the mountain with and, you know, tack it all down. But underneath, you're skiing on, I don't know, yesterday's dinner?
Maybe. Skiing down. And where is this now? You said in Amsterdam?
In Copenhagen.
Oh, Copenhagen. All right.
Nowhere near the Tivoli Gardens.
Oh, good. Skiing down Garbage Mountain, brought to you by, of course, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And with that, Tom, as always, thank you for being with us this evening. I look forward to next week's conversation.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world here on the Talk Station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of the Talk Station.